Okay. So we're starting the first parak. So what's the topic over here? Maybe get me medina sayam. So it's about what? No, it's the problem is that it's a question of how we can validate this the get, right? The get is coming from a baal who's not here. We don't have all the facts. We're just getting this shtar. So the Mishnah's dealing with how do we accept the get? Right, and that's the goal over here is to have a valid sefer krisis that we're going to let the Okay, so the Mishnah says that what that the shliach has to say it was written in front of him and signed in front of him. Go ahead. Okay, so Rashi's kol chutz l'oretz kori le medina zayon bar mi bovel kedam el kamen. All right. Tzorach, go ahead.
Tzorach, the shliach ha-mevil, lomar.
So the shliach that brings it has to say this.
The time of the first of Gemara.
Not just that it has to be said, right?
Right.
What's the diak and Rashi there? Tzorach, ha-shliach ha-mevil, lomar. Tzorach, shayom, is going back on the shliach ha-mevil. Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
From the time of the first of Gemara. The shliach ha-zeh, ha-bal asu.
So this is a shliach of halacha. Okay, the Ron takes it up later. Why it's only shliach of halacha? But it's the shliach of halacha. That's the one for the baal. The baal sets up the shliach of halacha. Shliach of kabbalah for the woman. In other words, it means to say that she went to the Baal's hometown, right? The woman lives here and lives in Eretz Yisrael, and she sends a shliach to the husband's town in Chutz Laretz to be mekabel the get for her, right? And now when she brings the get to us, we have to have a din. We have to determine whether the get is good, right? It's the same problem.
Right.
We have the same exact problem. Problem is, you have a get that was written out of town, right, out of Eretz Yisrael, and we in Eretz Yisrael have to validate it. We have to give a din whether it's kosher or not. So what's the difference? What's the difference if it's the shliach? What's the difference if it's getting to us from a shliach of the husband or from a shliach of the wife? Right? Factually, what's the difference?
We know the shliach.
What?
We know the person that she knows who they're. We know the person who she sent is supposed to be the
ball. Factually, the difference is that what? That the shliach of halacha means that the get hasn't been given yet. It's being given in front of us.
Right?
Shliach of kabbalah means the get was already given over there, and now they're bringing it. For her to mark it. Adam could, true Adam could, but we're not dealing with real Adam here. We're only dealing with one shliach. Okay? All right. So he has to say, so Rashi says, Gemara explains later why we have to say it. Okay? All right, now the Gemara goes through all different, from where exactly do they have to say and where do they not have to say? So we're not going to get into that, into the geography right now. Yeah, go ahead. Now it's like this. Now the safe is, a maybe get for Eretz Yisrael.
Maybe get for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, Shomar, Defonai Nechtav, Defonai Nechtav. Vim Yeshal of Orim, Yiskayim, Yiskayim.
Okay. So, in Eretz Yisrael, there's no need to say, for the shliach to say anything. There's no need for the shliach to say anything. And what? And she can get married. Right? All you need is the shliach to say, I'm a shliach of the Baal, and here's your get. Right? And then we'll permit her to get married. But if what? If someone is contesting it, and Rashi says, Shabal ma'arer shu mezuyaf. So what's the Baal's claim? That he never wrote the shtar, he never wrote the get. Right? Now as the get comes, the get is coming as a legal document of a sefer krisus. Right? And apparently what? There's a chazaka that is good. There's an umduna that is good. When you see a shtar that's written properly, the Beis Din has a right to assume that it's good. That's pashtus over here, okay? And they can act on that. The only thing is, if the Baal is ma'arer, if the Baal comes and contests it, then it requires a proof. So what's the proof? Yiskayim b'chozmo.
Rashi?
Yeah. Just trying to take care of the two reasons later. Yeah, so if the Baal is ma'arer, then what do? Then you have to get Edim, either the original Edim who signed, to testify that they signed the shtar, they signed the get, or other Edim who recognize the signatures. Yeah. So what are the Edim? So what are you doing now? So you're validating that the... now you're saying it like this, that so which Edim are really proving the get? It's really the Edim in the signatures, right? In other words, you have to establish that there are kosher Edim on this shtar. It's really it's the shtar itself. The shtar itself, the shtar proves itself. That's a shtar, right? The only thing is the Baal is saying that he never wrote that the shtar is that the whole thing was a forgery. So he's undermining the entity of the shtar itself. But the entity of the shtar is the chasimas eidim. That's what makes it into a shtar. So as long as I can say these, as long as I can prove that these are good, this is a good chasimas eidim, the shtar is valid. Right? That was the Baal's claim. The Baal is trying to undermine the validity of the shtar. He's undermining the existence of the shtar. Saying this is not really a shtar. There's nothing here. So now we have to say, now we have to prove that what? That you do have a shtar in front of you. What is a shtar? It's the ikar of the shtar is the chasim ha'sa'idim. It's not really on the merits. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's not on the merits of the case over here. It's just whether there's a shtar. So when you see a shtar, mistama, when you see something that has the appearance of a shtar, it's ksiva and the chasim ha'sa'idim. So mistama, we say it's a kosher shtar. It's a kosher shtar. The Baal is saying he's trying to undermine the existence of the shtar by saying it looks like a kosher shtar, but these are really the whole thing was a forgery. So now all you have to do is you have to be mekayim the shtar. Mekayim the shtar is to show that that the ikar of the shtar is valid. The ikar of the shtar is chasim ha'sa'idim. In other words, a din works through a system of a taina and raya, taina, counter taina, and raya, right? Without the taina of the Baal, so we take the shtar as the only raya. That's the raya we have. It's only if the shtar is really a case between the husband and the wife in terms of din. Who are the Baalei Davar? Right, it's the Baal, the husband and the wife. Right, so. No, that would be a shtar mamon. That'd be a shtar mamon. That would be her ksuba. Her ksuba. That would be a question if we take the get for to substitute for her ksuba. But not really. A ksuba is what you collect from. But now you have one party bringing the shtar. That's her raya. So we accept it. Mistama is good. But only if the other tzad comes in and makes a claim against it, now it forces us to validate it. See, Tosis takes up the question, the bottom Tosis, we're not going to go into it, but Tosis takes up the question about what you're saying. What if a guy just produces a shtar mamon on somebody? Let's say I come to town and I have a shtar that Jake owes me money. Right? And he's not around. So will Basin accept it? Mistama, will they accept it and let me go and take his assets? Or will Basin say, no, you have to prove it first? See, that's Tosas. Tosas says, "Avol kol zman de lo osi balu ma'arer niseis al piget velo tainina mizuyef." We don't make the taina of mizuyef. See, what I'm saying? Mizuyef is a taina. It's a claim. On its face, the thing is good. There's no reason to doubt it. So Basin will accept it as uncontested evidence. When there's a taina that contests it, now that requires an answer. A taina requires an answer. You understand? But before the taina, you have the shtar. It has the appearance of being kosher, and no one is invalidating it. There's no claim against it. But he says like this. He says the mishum iguna ikilu borabanan. The Tosa says we only make a lov here because of iguna. Tosa says, though, if a guy would come to town, like my case, with a shtar to collect money, and the other Baal Dover is not there, we as a Beis Din would challenge it for him. But Mestama, it is good. Without a taina, without a counterclaim, without a claim against it, it would stand. It would stand. But so there's no reason. It doesn't need to be challenged, and it doesn't need to be mekuyim with Adam for it to exist as a shtar. For it to be used as a shtar. The only thing is, he's saying normally we would challenge it automatically, because otherwise it opens the door for people to just forge documents and bring them to the place where they know the guy is not going to be there, so he's not going to challenge it, and then Basin will be forced to accept it. So he says Basin will make the taina mizuyef, but over here Mishum Iguna will make him. Yeah, wouldn't accept if every get that we got. We would say it's mizuyef and require. Oh, he's saying that no, it's apparently, that's a good question. It's apparently Tos is saying that when they made the takana of when they instituted the practice of being taininan mizuyef, they limited it because of iguna. It's really a get is just another type of a shtar. So when they had a reason to make the when they had a reason to say we'll be towing mizuyef, they didn't include a gittin. Okay. What is a shtar that's not mekuyam? Right? Any question? What's the difference between the shtar before it's mekuyam and after it's mekuyam? It can never be undone. Once the shtar is mekuyam, it can't be undone unless you have other edus against it. Then you need edus. Now, this is the realm of taina. You have to understand, there's a realm of taina and there's a realm of raya. Okay? Taina is a claim, but you need a raya. Like, for instance, I could make a taina that the thing is mine, and the raya could be that I'm holding it. Right? Chazaka is a type of a raya. Right? Right? Now, as a taina, if I'm holding something, and somebody, even if somebody brings Adam that it was his the day before, so he has a taina. Taina is, it's mine. But I'm holding it. So we say, I'm believed to say I bought it from him. Because I can make a... I can answer his taina, and the fact that I'm holding it is a riot to my answer. You understand? If there may be... So what's the din again? If there may be from Chutz La'aretz, so then we don't accept it at all unless they say, B'fonei Nechta, B'fonei Nechta. Right? The Shliach has to... Without the Shliach saying it, we won't accept it. Okay? But if it's brought from Eretz Yisrael... Mistamitz kasher, and only if it's challenged do you have to be mekayim it with Edom. Right? Okay. Alright, so let's just take a side point here for a minute. The Tosfos, the first Tosfos, just an interesting side point. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, so now the question is like this. The minhag to write 12 lines in the get. So he says, why are they knowing this way? Why are they knowing to write 12 lines? Funny kind of a question. Why are they knowing to write 12 lines? He says, because that's get and gematria is 12. And it's like a funny kind of a connection. Funny kind of a connection. Okay, that's one answer. So Rav Haigon and Rav Sadyagon give a different reason. Why? Because the Torah calls a get a safer krisus. Okay, since it's called a safer krisus. So how do you get from safer krisus to 12 lines? So it's based on the 12 lines that separate the four books of the Torah. Weren't there five books of the Torah? Okay.
So
how do you get 12 lines? Because there are four lines between each sefer, right? No. But so now, hold on. So to separate between the four is three separations, right? Three separations between four, right? So that's 12. What about Devarim? So he says Devarim is Mishneh Torah. That doesn't count.
What?
Devarim, he says, V'hefsik shebein v'yedaber le-Mishneh Torah, which is Devarim, lo choshev, she'eino ele choze v'shona mashal amala. So what's he saying? He's saying that what? So it's machlokas in the minhag of why do you have 12 lines? Can we define a machlokas like this? This is what I'm trying to understand. Is it one reason is for some reason there's a minhag for 12 lines. So one reason is gematria of get.
Did they think of these reasons? Like they saw there's a minhag for 12 lines.
Sounds like it. I mean, it sounds like Rabbeinu Tam definitely did. Right? Maybe Sadyagon was early enough that, but definitely Rabbeinu Tam did. He didn't institute it, that's for sure. Right? It's apparently very old. Ram doesn't mention it, but it's very old.
Do you have to assume that each one's thought of the other one's far? That, like, he's not arguing on the didn't like the other one's
far? I'm not saying you have to say why each one didn't like the other one, but are they saying, but they're definitely saying different things. Can we define this type of a, can we define a little bit? None of this is daraisa, by the way. Obviously, it just says we're knowing this way.
But is that an asmachta if you're going from the formulation of how we... The
question is, what it sounds like a ridiculous connection. Okay, it's a sefer krisus. What does sefer krisus mean? It means that it's an instrument of divorce. That's what it means, a sefer krisus. So there are lines of separation between the four svarim and the Torah. So therefore we make 12 lines. So it's a sefer krisus? I mean... All right, and then you have to explain that Devarim is not really Devarim is not. There's no separation because it's just a review. It's just a review. But what's the? I mean, Rabbeinu Tam. At least we're all familiar with gematrias, right? Everyone knows. Okay, gematrias. We're not necessarily fond of them, but we've heard about them, right? So yeah. Okay, but like the Ramban says, you can make anything out of a gematria. You can do anything you want with a gematria. So anything that can turn something that can turn into anything, you know, loses its value at a certain point, right? So anyway, but okay, we'll have to think about that too. But this is just like wild, like out of like a wild connection. Because something separates between the Sifra, the Svarim, and the Chumashim, and the Torah, therefore when we write divorce documents, we use 12 lines. I mean, it's just like, I don't see the logic is just hard to bridge. Gematria is a logic that we are familiar with. This is like a different kind of a logic. Like, what is he accomplishing? What is he trying to accomplish? I mean, that's what I'm trying to understand. What are they trying to accomplish? What are they trying to accomplish? What's the purpose? I mean, a minhag Yisrael should have some sort of purpose. Trying to teach you something? Please, the words tell you a lot more than the 12 lines. You mean to say that the sofer knows? Oh, 12 lines, sure! 12 lines always reminds me of separation. Because I know there are 4 lines between sefer, and I don't count the last sefer, and obviously 12 is separation. Works perfectly. It's like a neon sign. What? So nothing wrong with the gematria. But what are they trying to accomplish? Let's just understand the base thing. Why should there be anything? Why should there be any minhag? So what do you say? Take the first one, gematria. What's he saying? Okay. So no, so you could say Rabbeinu Tam is saying that there was an interest in having a standard form. There was an interest in having a standard form. So you have to find a standard. So it's arbitrary. You just have to pick an arbitrary standard. Because the only importance is that it should be standard. Right? That's the only importance. So, like the Rambam says, you can't look for reasons and details, right? Has to be some standard.
So
how do you pick? What do you mean? Of course it's a detail.
No, I understand that.
Why
does it matter how many lines are? You want to have 15 lines.
Yeah, that's right. There's no reason one over the other.
Why not let it be up to the sofer?
Because I'm saying that there's a certain value.
How big the margins are.
It's look the same, basically. You want to get to look the same. You don't want to have to rely on every sofer's own creativity. And you want it to be, in order to be learned and known and understood and accepted universally, there should be one format everybody follows, every basin knows what it looks like. You understand? Right. I wouldn't say it's not going to be possible if it's not 12 lines. But you're right. Maybe the basin that receives it will be eyeing a little more into it. Whatever it is. So there has to be a standard. The only value is that there should be some standard. So now it's just an arbitrary question of what your number is going to be. So in an arbitrary formulation, you take an accidental feature of the area that you're involved in.
Wait, isn't there one more question? Why you need standard in Gita Yama, but you don't need standard in Gita Yama?
You don't need a standard in the Gita Yama because there are no standards in Gita Yama. Any shtar could be anything.
There's no gear, right.
There's no specific gear.
To require that the IOU is going to be 4 pages. I mean,
if you have standards in Dine Mominus, then you'd have to have 50 standards, 100 standards. Then it's already, forget it. Might as well forget it already. But anyway. So gematria, in other words, just taking an accidental, since it's just an accidental detail itself, they take an accidental detail of the inyan. The get is 12, they made 12. Okay, fine. A mnemonic device, whatever you want to say. But Sajigon and Rav Hai?
Yeah.
That seems like there's more of an ikar of an idea associated with this. I mean, it's not like a simple, not like just a simple way of getting a number, right? So what are they doing? What are they trying to accomplish? What are they trying to accomplish?
We don't know what a sefer piece is.
Just lemaisa, what do they do over here? They make lines. You know that's ladin. They draw lines. Scratches, sritos, right? They draw lines in the cleft. Right? So they draw 12 lines before they get started. Because what are the lines between the Sefer Torah? What are the lines? It's Sirtot, right? I mean, what are the lines between the Sefer Torah composed of? What are they composed of? It's just lines. In other words, it's not just flat empty space between right? It's scratches. What's can we have a better word for that? Okay, sirtut is when you write. Sirtut is when you write on a cloth, a sefer Torah. Next time you go get an aliyah, you'll see there are scratched lines. You know, like your loose leaf paper's got those little blue lines, right? So, instead of little blue lines, instead of the lines are made out of scratches. How do they make the lines actually? Right. So it's what? So you take a sharp object, and you scratch a line in, and then you write the letters on the line. So where? So on the Sefer Torah, between the Chumashim, there are actually four lines, empty lines, right? And therefore, he's saying when you write the Sefer Torah, what do? You write, you scratch out 12 lines, and then you write the Sefer Torah, right? Okay, so what's the purpose of that? So I think, anyone want to venture a guess? So what's the kiyum of the minhag of the Gaonim? What are they accomplishing? Let's just think it through logically. Now, what are they saying to do? They're saying that when you write the get, take out your all, right? A-W-L. Okay. So you take out your knife, your X-Acto knife, right? And you scratch out the 12 lines, right? Now, what is that according to Rav Haigon? You understand? You see what I'm trying to say? That is the Sefer Krisis. Now you have a Sefer Krisis. You understand? Why? Because 12 blank lines are kores between the Sefer Torah, right? You have your Sefer. What he's trying to do is, he's trying to accomplish creating a Sefer Krisis just from the Sirtut. You understand? Because that is the Sefer Krisis? The Sefer Krisis is not Sefer Krisis in terms of the text, right? In other words, it's really a Sefer Krisis because, like the Gemara says later, it's Sipur Dvarim. It's a Sipur Dvarim. It's a story of Krisis. That's where Midoraisa, the real quality of Krisis comes from the Dibor, from the words, right? From the words. But what the Gaonim are saying is, there is also an idea that it's a Sefer Krisis just from the format that it's written on also has an idea of Sefer Krisis. The blank lines that it's on also constitute a Sefer Krisis. How? Because you have blank lines between the Sefer Torah, there's an idea that blank lines are kores. There's an idea that blank lines are kores. Now, of course, they're not kores anything over here because they're not separating between anything. But there's a kiyum that since a get is written lishma, that's what I think the kiyum is. The kiyum is that since gittin require lishma, right, and l'shem ha'ish, l'shem ha'ish and l'shem krisus, so they were misakein that there should be a hecker from before the ksiva itself that it's the shame krisis. So from the very thing, so it should be defined as a safer krisis even before the words of krisis emerge, because that's lishma. Lishma means that it's not a safer krisis from the words, right? It's a Sefer Krisis from the intent of the Sofer. It has to be Lishma. Lishma means that there's a Sefer, that the Sefer Krisis only emerges because of the intent and the Kavana of the Sofer. Not that it's a Sefer Krisis because it's telling a story of Krisis. Just the words. So what they said is that therefore there should be a Maisa, there should be an Asiya beforehand that brings to mind, even in just a mnemonic sense, right? Just in a sense of a almost like a like an association, a symbolic association, that before the actual words emerge, it has to already be defined as a sefer krisis. Huh? Why did they get rid of Mishnah Torah? I mean, they could have stretched it. It would seem they could have stretched it to 16. Doesn't seem like it's make it a little thinner. Make it a little thinner. Why Dafka? Why Dafka? Do they knock out Mishnah Torah? The crease. My point is the creases of the lines has nothing to do with the real creases that you're writing and that you're doing over here. It has nothing to do with it. Right? It has nothing to do with it. Sist in Asiya Lishma. In other words, the Tam of the Minug is not just to have a standard format, right? But to have an Asiya that defines the involvement as Krisis before the Ksav. Because Lishma means it has to be defined before the Ksav, before the Maisa Ksiva. Right? If you just write it out, then that wouldn't be Lishma if you didn't have in mind that it was Sefer Krisis before. So they want to define this Cheftza as a Sefer Krisis before you even start writing for Lishma. Right?
We got the Shear from there.
No, because the Sirtut, that's the only reason why, because the Krisis of the Torah is the Sirtut.
Wait, it says me.
That's the creases. No, it's the only way that it's like the only way that it's, if it's words, if it's coming from 12 lines of words, there are hundreds of lines of words in the Torah. Lines of words are not creases. Lines of words, no, it is. It is. It has to be. It has to be. According to the Gaonim, it has to be. Otherwise, there's no shame of the creases of the Sefer Torah. The creases of Sefer Torah is dafka, blank lines.
You saw that in Tosfos this year, Torah?
You need two reasons for it. See, the Rosh is like this. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you need two reasons. You need one reason for why there's 12. That's the gematria of Get. And then you need another reason for Sirtut, because it's Nikra Sefer. Right? But according to Rav Haigon and Rav Sajigon, it's one reason. It's one reason. Because the lines of Krisus are lines of Sirtut. Right? So before you start the Ksiva, the Sirtut, the 12 lines of Sirtut, already, since 12 lines, he's saying, are the true concept of division. That's a concept of division because you're dividing up the essential components of the Torah. And Mishnah Torah is saying is a review. So you want to have, before the Ksiva, a hecker of Sefer Krisis. It's a minug. In other words, that's what I'm trying to say. Saying the two different reasons have to do with the two different ideas of what the minug is serving. To define this machlokas, so you have to define what they're trying to accomplish by the minhag. One is just standard, so then you don't look for an intrinsic reason. You don't look for a reason that's then it's just an arbitrary reason, like gematria. It's just an arbitrary reason. But if you say it's tied to an idea of sirtut of krisus, then you're saying the minhag is to be koveya the maisa as a sias of a sefer krisus. Before the sefer krisis of the Dvarim emerges, it should be a sefer krisis of Asiya before the sefer krisis of Dvarim emerges. So then you have to, then it's dafka sirtut. Then you have to find an idea of sirtut that's krisis. Okay. So before you get started, now is the din is to have 12 lines, right? But 12 empty lines. That's the 12 empty lines between the Sefer Torah. So that's only if you do the Sirtut first. Just the fact that you wrote something that is 12 lines, and they're not the same kinds of lines. The lines of creases between the Sefer Torah is dafka lines without words. How could there be any connection between them? The shear. Anything that has a shear of 12. Right. That's right. Right, that right. The Rosh says right. Coins are being time. You have to find another reason for the Sirtut. Coins are to the Gaonim, you don't. Okay, look, it's not a typical kind of a machlokas. It's just a thought. Okay, go ahead. Next, let's get to the Gemara.
Then you have to aid them with three in the Bible.
Okay, so what's the reason? What's the reason for the shliach to say anything? The get, a get is a shtar that should stand on its own. Right? Regular shtar should stand on its own. Unless it's challenged. So what's the reason for the shliach to say anything? So Rashi, go ahead. Okay, so the first reason is Rabbah. That what? Sum up Rabbah for me. That there really is a chshash in the shtar. It's not like a regular shtar. Regular shtar, you're right, it wouldn't be choshesh. Right? Because the edim are there, and it's mistama is good. But over here, it's more than just chasimas edim. Here, there's a din of asiyah. The asiyah has to be lishma. Otherwise, it's not a good shtar. Not a good get. So, the people outside of Eretz Yisrael are not learned, right? They're not learned. And we're choshesh, we're actually choshesh for the validity of the shtar. The chasima also has to be lishma, according to the shita. Well, the Gemara takes it up. Chasima also has to be lishma. So therefore, it's a real, according to this way, it's a chshash. There's a chshash in the shtar. Chshash that it's not done lishma. So therefore, how do we remedy that? Okay, so Rashi is alone in this pshat. Rashi says, what do we do? The shliach says, it was written and signed before me. It was written before me and it was signed before me. But if the chshash is lishma, how does that help you? Right? We're not choshish that it wasn't written and signed. We're worried that they didn't know lishma. So Rashi says a funny, it's a funny Rashi. He says, they tell us it was written before me. He tells us it was written before me and signed before me. And Mamela, I mean, what does that mean, Mamela? And Mamela, we ask him, was it lishma? And he says yes. Ulukami mefaresh.
My time alone, it's uhu, nami lamimar lishma.
And later on, the Gemara explains, why doesn't he have to say lishma initially? Just make him say that it was done lishma.
Okay, just forget
the point. But the it, but there are two its. There's the ksiva and there's the chasima. I mean, say the whole thing. Well, that's what he's saying. Now, and did you do? You already read Rava. And what does Rava say? Rava has a different position. So what? Go ahead, Rashi. Shayaros mitzuyos misham lekan. The transit is not very good. Sort of like that. That what? That the problem is like this. The problem is there's not a good flow of traffic from the Medina Sayyam to Eretz Yisrael. So if the Baal comes and contests it and he says I never wrote it, so there aren't going to be Edom around to be Mekayim it. It's not like Eretz Yisrael. So there aren't going to be Edom to be Mekayim it. So therefore, they gave the shliach ne'emanus. Okay. But what's the difference? Just definitively, what's the difference between Rabbah and Rava? Yeah.
What we're gonna do with the Balkan.
Right. Now, what's the function of these edim? What's the function of the shliach saying b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta? According to Rabbah, it's part of making the get good initially. Right. We won't accept it initially. We wouldn't accept it initially without some information about how it was written. According to Rava, it's not a chshash. It's not a chshash we have now. It's not to resolve a problem that the get that we're faced with by the get, but it's to preclude a later problem. It's to prevent the problem. Right? Now there's different kind of remedies. According to Rava, it's a remedy for something that the get is lacking. The get itself is lacking. And according to Rava, it's really to make up for a situational lack. Right? Nothing wrong with the get, but in terms of kiyum later, we don't want to have to track down Edom later to be mekayim it if it's contested. Okay? Alright, and then Gemara is going to ask later, why don't they need two? Why is all of a sudden one aid good over here? Okay. So we're just going to jump ahead to the Gemara and Gimel for a minute, so we can help us understand Rashi a little better. Okay, so the Gemara asks, why doesn't Rava learn like Rabbah? Why isn't Rava Choshesh learn that the chashash is lishma, because he says it doesn't say that they have to say b'fanei nechtav lishma. That was really the problem. If it's there to solve the problem of knowing that it was done lishma, of not knowing that it was done lishma, they should address that problem, right? They should address it. Okay, go ahead. What is Rava saying? And Rava says that what? Rava says you're right. You're right. It really should say that. It really should say that. But what? But if you make them say something too long, right? Not only are they not B'nai Torah, apparently they don't have good memories. If you make them say something too long, they're going to say only part of it. They're going to shorten it. They're going to shorten it. Yeah, go ahead. And so what?
Rashi.
Go ahead, Rashi, yeah. It's amazing. So then, and then the Vlad's going to be a mamzer, because that's what Rav Meir holds later. Apparently, you can't remedy this, right? You can't remedy this, right? Once they give it and they say it wrong, you can't tell them, are you forgetting something? Right? That's machlokas later. Chum say, give it over. But it's interesting. According to this, what?
Why is it like magic phone off? He just has to establish it on the
shmala. Because now you're getting into another problem. Now you're getting into a certain problem that once they're misaking whatever takana they give, now you have a certain problem being mishana from the takana. So they didn't want to make the takana too complicated that it could cause a person to be mishana. That will cause a bigger problem. Go ahead. So still, I mean, anal davar sof. Whatever you say, there's always a chance the guy's going to mess it up. Yeah, so what does that mean, Rashi? One out of three words. That's already too much.
So he leave off
lishma. He'll leave off lishma. The zimnin lo amar el b'fonei nechtav. Chadamitarti.
Chadamitarti can go b'fonei nechtav. Lo bias. Mela shaylin amay e nechtav lishma. Bomer in.
So again, Rashi comes back to this pshat. Again. So they're going to say, they're not going to forget b'fonei nechtav. And then we'll ask them, Inami stamako masid. Okay, fine. That's Rashi learns like a second pshat, like everyone else. We'll see, we'll see. So Rashi is like Tzvi is saying, really it comes out to be four words, right? It comes out to be four words. So how do we swing that? How do we swing that?
It's
two units. So what's the idea of here? How do you define this? What does it mean that he's going to forget or not going to forget? Three, one out of three forgets, one out of two he doesn't forget. What kind of an umdana is that? So he's saying that what they're not going to forget, they're not going to utter a word. They're going to know it's a sentence, right? Know it's a sentence. But to make it a qualified sentence, that already is subject. Because once it can be expressed, once the same basic content can be expressed with the qualifier of lishma and without it, he's not gonna remember the ikar idea as lishma. He's gonna remember he's gotta say a statement about the asiyas I get. So he'll make the minimal sentence. We're not worried he's going to utter a word, a syllable, right? He'll remember that the maisa is a sentence, and a sentence about two things that he can remember. It's not a problem he can't remember a lot of things. The problem is when the thing he's supposed to do can be done in a simpler way and a more complex way, we're worried he's going to forget the nuance and he's going to just take the simple way. So if you say he has to say b'fona, he has to say that it was written before him with a qualifier, he might just remember to say it was written before him. You're not going to be choshish, he's not going to remember he has to talk about how it was written. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, it was apparently, look, there's somebody over there who's sending him and must know to tell him what to do. Right, something's going on, but okay. So the beginning of a sugya. I know it's hard. We gotta get the facts. We gotta do a little more work in the facts before we can get to the svaras. But here's a big machlokas. The big machlokas over here, Rashi and the other Rishonim. Rashi is saying what? Rashi says that what does he say? He says b'fonei nechtov, b'fonei nechtam, and memela they're going to ask him what about lishma, right? And memela they're going to ask him what about lishma. The other Rishonim reject this. They reject this. What does the Ran say? You see the Ran?
Yeah.
All right. So let's take a look at the Ran, and we'll try to define this machlokas. Define the machlokas Rashi and the Ran about whether you say b'fonei nechtav and then you ask him, or b'fonei nech, or whether it's just or whether we don't ask him. So we're going to take a look at the Rashba. The Rashba really has a powerful question on Rashi. The Rashba is a powerful question.
What did Rashi do with that Gemara?
This Gemara is good for Rashi.
But Rava didn't need the third word either. Rava's problem, why didn't you have, be worried about Rava?
Why didn't he learn? Because when the Gemara asks, my time of Rava, why didn't Rava learn like Rava? They're learning, the question is, what did he see in the Mishnah not that he didn't interpret the Mishnah this way? Right? Why didn't he interpret the Mishnah this way? If the Mishnah is choshish for Lishma. Right? Not why he himself is choshish for Lishma. Why isn't he interpreting the Mishnah? So he's saying, because the Mishnah should have said, it was written, the Mishnah should have said that he says it was written before me Lishma. So Rav has to answer, why, if the chshash was Lishma, why would the Mishnah not say that he has to say Lishma? So they give the reason, because of course, if you would do it, it would cause a problem. Right? But what happened to the Lishma? So what happens to the Lishma? So Rashi seems to be logical. He's saying, but they didn't remove the requirement of having him say Lishma, so we have to supplement it somehow, right? But the other Rishonim say no, that's not possible. Has to be. That's the only thing he says.